It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, it is Sunday night, November 27, 2022. I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I am back in New York after a few days, little mini vacation. I did see Survivor Series late last night. Talk about storyline-driven premium live event slash pay-per-view. That's what last night was about, storyline. Matches were great. With the exception of one, they tried. don't worry, Charlotte Flair will be back any second. Don't worry, have no fear. We'll get into a couple of thoughts as far as last night's Survivor Series. Now, Monday night, November 28th, right after Raw, I'll be up here giving you my thoughts of Raw. We'll talk about some news, some opinions. Some of the things I say tonight may be repeated on Monday. Now, before I go any further, what is tonight's format? Well, first of all, we're going to do a very, very quick show. I'm going to give you my overall thoughts on Survivor Series. By now, there's been 50,000 reviews and recaps done online. Nothing that I'm going to say is going to really add to it other than my thoughts of where things are going, when we could expect things to happen, few other sausage elements that we have to incorporate tonight as well. And then we'll do a very quick sit down. So for everyone who is live, you'll have the opportunity, you know, to send a question, a comment in. We'll discuss it. As always, super chats not required. Always appreciated. And yeah, you'll get a little VIP status along the way. But I got to open up with something. You know me, my Twitter footprint is very, very small. I see the climate out there. It's let me write whatever I could get the most tweets to, or you have to really shit on something, or you got to be beyond politically correct. You celebrate yourself. This is and that. It gets no attention whatsoever. And I was monitoring social media last night while I was watching Survivor Series and just to see the overall climate. And, you know, and it's funny to see people, and I'll show you a great example of one in a moment, see people who give their immediate thoughts, very, very honest thoughts. And me, I always respect thoughts that I disagree with, because if you have the balls to stand by something, even if it's not popular, that deserves respect. Case in point, I got to show you this. I'm sure a lot of you know this Twitter account. You know, for audio-only friends out there, it is at WrestleOps. And right after Survivor Series ended, literally at the end, they wrote, the Bloodline wins War Games. That ending came a little abrupt. Thoughts? Okay. Sat there for about a couple of minutes. A lot of negative responses to it. About 800 likes. Hey, that's probably what they were not going for. So I'm looking at social media and everybody is making a big fucking deal about Jey Uso hugging Sami Zayn. And oh, I got something for you in a moment, everyone. So what happens, guys and gals? Well, after about 5 minutes of this tweet not getting the attention that they expected, they deleted it and replaced it with this. One of the best and most beautiful moments of the entire year of 2022 in pro wrestling. Sami Zayn and Jey Uso finally embrace, complete with red heart, cinema, storytelling, emotion. Google some of those last three words and you will see about 500 tweets that wrote similar things. And wow, look at that, 22,000 likes. 22,000. Listen. Cinema? Absolutely. Storytelling? Phenomenal. Emotion? Absolutely. But this love, they're embracing everyone. They're embracing, oh my God, half of these people online would never last a week in the mob. They would never last in La Cosa Nostra. They would never last a week in a hood. They would, could you imagine? Am I my brother's keeper? Boom! You'd be whacked in a second. Why? Because everybody and their mother yesterday looking at this and like, oh my God, look at that. Hugging, finally, what Jey Uso has been wanting to do for months. Look, 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 look. Hug, 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 hug. Oh my God, oh my God. They finally accepted him. That was the final photo to go off the air. They couldn't show you that, everyone, because that kind of goes again. Let me zoom in a little bit. Pay a little attention of Jey Uso's face right after hugging Sami Zayn. Red heart. Oh, my God, I want to cry. Cry emojis. Let's zoom in a little bit further. Let's zoom in a little bit further. Is that a little bit more? A little bit more. Yeah. Yeah. Dead man oozing. That's what's going on right now with Sami Zayn. Dead man oozing. Now, I apologize for everyone out there, because, yes, I will be talking about this again on Monday. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Hugging. Yeah, okay. Dead man oozing. That's what Sami Zayn is right now. You know, I found it hilarious today. Wrestling News Co. is reporting today that the proposed match for WrestleMania is Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos for the Universal Undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions. Are they going to predict next that Thanksgiving was on November 24th? That New Year's Day is going to land on January 1st this coming year? How many fucking months has everybody and their mother talked about it? And people are going, come on, man. Seriously, I fucking hate some of these goofs in 2022. Now, look, a picture is worth 1,000 words. If you want to look at Survivor Series and the main event yesterday, I thought this picture was fucking phenomenal. That summarizes the Bloodline versus the Brawling Brutes yesterday. By the way, if you haven't watched Survivor Series yet and you want to have a little fun, I know nobody noticed it yesterday, but I noticed it. And if you watch Survivor Series again just for that match, do this. I'll put the picture back up in a second, but do this. Every time Butch gets thrown into the cage, take a shot. You will be drunk, pissed, drunk beyond belief. We started laughing. My wife, who's a wrestling fan, she watches it. She doesn't really know, you know, the she didn't know Butch. Right. But she even said after like the fourth time, she goes, they keep throwing that guy in the cage. I mean, literally every couple of moments we want to take Butch out, throw him into the cage. It was pretty funny. It's pretty funny. But if you want to summarize that main event last night, that picture is perfect. Sami Zayn telling Jey Uso, go right ahead, splash Kevin Owens. He's splashing Kevin Owens. Everybody acting completely unconscious. Now, you know me. I'm a stickler to detail. I mean, the end of the match to watch Drew McIntyre totally incapacitated. Yeah, here's a good one. Totally incapacitated. All this is going down. My face. Look. My chest. My neck. My back. My pussy and my crack. I mean, they're all laying there unconscious while the finish of the match is gone. Little things like that kind of annoy me, especially some of you who DM'd me that went to Survivor Series and said it kind of got a little bit ridiculous to see all the members of the Brawling Brutes laid out on the mat while all this shit's going down, and they're purposely rolling the other way so they don't see what's going on. I mean, look, this is pro wrestling. It's entertainment. I'm not criticizing those guys. You know, last night was beautiful storytelling. One thing you need to get used to is in the year 2022, it actually, you could probably thank COVID for a lot of this and Vince McMahon's peepee. You know, Vince McMahon, think about it. Vince McMahon didn't have these escapades, probably would still be doing this. You could take that and COVID, and what you're getting now is the scenic route. I mean, we've talked about it for the last 2 years with a lot of little storylines and matches on TV, things that normally would settle in a week or two, settle 4 or 5 weeks. Look at the latest one, Dexter Lumis and The Miz. Talking about dragging this out 3-4 weeks extra, totally unnecessary. Seriously, it's like a cow trying to get milk from the cow. Let's get every fucking drop. There ain't no milk coming out of here no more. Squeeze it again. Squeeze that son of a bitch again. They're just milking and milking it. So now, if you remember my predictions that I did a few days ago, we said that if the Bloodline win and if Sami Zayn does not cause the loss, this may stretch to the Royal Rumble before things start metastasizing. And I'm not complaining, but we have to get used to storylines. You know, I know a lot of people with AEW, like long-term booking. Hangman Page didn't get the title for 3.5 years. Long-term booking. You know, no, it's not long-term booking. It just, you know, there's so many things going on. Hey, we'll revisit that down the line. You know, when FTR finally get the AEW tag titles, and I pray to the wrestling gods out there, somebody from AAA, somebody from New Japan, IWGP, somebody please, you know, let it be the time in a month where they're just really pissed off. No, we're taking the titles off to FTR. But they got to win the AEW tag titles. They have to walk around with 4 sets of titles. But, no. Drop the titles now, you know. But when they find a long-term booking, something that got dropped 2 years ago is going to be rehashed. Oh, long-term booking. But you want to know something? In all honesty and fairness, WWE is doing this long-term booking in a lot of ways a lot longer. You know, and for me, being a wrestling fan since 79, this is a little bit old school for me. So I'm not complaining about it, but get used to it. We're stuck in this Vince McMahon mentality that, you know, very short-term, you know, attention. You know, like, okay, you know, this person feuds with this person, couple of weeks, pay-per-view, boom, let's go to the next person. Blah, 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 let's do it for a month, boom, let's go to the next person. And what happens? COVID hits. Now you got to really stretch things out a little bit longer. And as a result, it is ended with great storytelling, great writing. Think about this. If this was 3 years ago, we would never get this storyline advancement this long with Jey Uso and Roman Reigns and even as far as we've gotten with Sami Zayn. A lot of it, and look at the Street Profits in hindsight. That might have been the turning point as far as where things go in the future with writing with WWE. Do you remember SummerSlam? Everybody, including yours truly, mostly everybody, were adamant. Oh, this is the Street Profits moment. Remember the build? Remember the match they had with the Usos that ended in controversy and it escalated to SummerSlam? And the build and the promos and everything. And yes, I know Montez Ford has been out with an injury, but fuck the injury. Forget the injury for a minute. What has happened with them? Was that their pinnacle? Because a lot of people still think that WWE is going to split them. That, you know, you're going to see a split. So look at, talk about a reign that we're going to look back on and say, wow, they should have had that reign and they never got it. But now you reflect on it. It seems like it was the right decision. The New Day, you cannot take away what the New Day has done for this age, this contemporary WWE. Are they the greatest faction of all time? No. Are they the greatest tag team of all time? No. Obviously, 10 years from now, there'll be another tag team that WWE's oohing and aahing and they'll top the polls. And it's cyclical. It happens over and over again. But you cannot take away everything the New Day has done. But without question, you look at the last 2 to 3 years, the Usos have earned to surpass the New Day on the food chain. And if the New Day, if the Usos would have dropped the tag belts at SummerSlam to the Street Profits, this record, this history, this longest reign of all time is gone. It's not there for them. So you look in the record books, you look at the Hall of Fame, you look at 20 years from now. This is a big deal. And now you look back on it, you're like, you know what? They did the right decision. They did the right decision. Now, as far as SummerSlam yesterday, I'm not going to go into every little detail. I'm not doing that no more. We did the State of the Channel. 99.9% of you were ecstatic of it. And, you know, we're going to go back to a little old school of what I used to do. I kind of, you know, shifted a little bit because of, you know, what the norm is, especially, you know, trying to expand our network and everything. But, you know, last night's Survivor Series was a hell of a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie to you. Something felt missing. Wasn't Bray Wyatt. Something felt missing. I don't even know if it was traditional five-on-five. Give me one five-on-five Survivor Series. I don't think it was that. Something was missing yesterday. AJ Styles and Finn Balor wrestled for, like, what, 25 minutes? And it felt like a Raw match. The match was awesome. It felt like I was watching Raw. You know, I think where WWE totally blew it was right before Saudi Arabia. When they talked about how they needed to negate, they needed to neutralize Rhea Ripley, and they go into Crown Jewel with no one, with no Mia Yim, no Michin, nothing, and Rhea Ripley once again causes what she causes. You know, unfortunately, look, Mia Yim, it's not her fault, but everybody that knew her as far as WWE remembers Retribution. So she wasn't going to come in with this crazy, unbelievable spitfire that everybody's going to be like, oh my God, she took out Rhea Ripley, and now the Judgment Day and the OC, now they're on even play. Guess what? Everybody thinks Rhea Ripley is a major badass. Look at the Thanksgiving video with her and Dominic. It was beautiful. That shit's got like 7 million views already. And that's not just buying, you know, extra views to pad numbers for WWE. You know, Rhea Ripley is a fucking badass. And people are like, you know what? I want Rhea Ripley to beat the shit out of Luke Gallows. I want Rhea Ripley to take out a bunch of the women. A lot of people wanted to see Rhea Ripley do even more yesterday at Survivor Series. Now, the Survivor Series matches, you know, I think a lot of people also feel that there may have been two stages as far as weapons go. They used the same formula for both matches. First couple of people, nobody brings in a weapon. And then the middle bunch of people, this person will bring in a couple of tables, chairs. This person will bring in a couple of Singapore canes. This person will bring in a couple of garbage cans. And then, you know, the table got the biggest pop of the night. And Bayley brings it out there. Now, Bayley is a heel. She pulls the table out, and everybody's cheering at the top of their mind. If I'm Bayley, I'm like, hey, fuck you. I put it back under the ring. And you let Becky Lynch take the table out. But note, because it was scripted that way, that everybody was going to take out, you know, in the middle, a piece of furniture. You know, that's how it was. You know, Nikki Cross diving off the top. You look at it closely, everybody getting in position. If you're going to criticize AEW for that, you got to criticize WWE for that as well. I don't criticize either one, because what do you want them to do? You want Nikki to go snap, crackle, pop, splat in the middle of the ring because people aren't in position to catch her? Of course you want to catch her. Even when I used to do my shitty indie wrestling stuff, you know, one of the biggest compliments that I ever got, and I know a lot of you know this, these stories already, they're like, I love the way DT always caught me. You know, from Sabotage to a bunch of others. They always said the same thing. They feel like I'm floating on air. Didn't feel good when I hit the floor. But, you know, you got to catch these people. Io Sky doing a beautiful moonsault yesterday onto Bianca and Mia Yim. Fabulous. You know, they had its moments. Look, it had a couple of clunky moments as well. I think, especially on the women's side, trying to be a little too overly creative. Shotzi Blackheart trying to be a little bit too overly creative with some of her moves. Obviously, there was a lot of pressure on Shotzi Blackheart. You know, she's still up and coming. She has improved tremendously the last 2 years. But she's still, you know, she's facing Ronda Rousey. And Ronda Rousey is not this big ring general. That's what a lot of people need to understand. Look, Ronda Rousey comes from MMA. Her mindset is MMA. Her instinct is MMA. It is not easy to just turn that switch off and be 100% pro wrestler. And it happens a lot in her matches. She's starting to figure it out with her attitude, with her personality. I think everybody agrees. She's not a human Xanax anymore when she talks. But when the matches come, you could see where that kicks in a little bit and it causes a problem. And Shotzi Blackheart is not this big ring general as well. So you try to improvise and you get what you get yesterday. You know, I'm not saying that Ronda Rousey is great and I'm not saying that she's awful. But you also got to understand when most of your professional life is MMA and you just turn that off completely and try to have the mindset of a pro wrestler, it's not as easy as it comes across. You know, for some people, it's, you know, no problem whatsoever. But for some, it's a little difficult. And that's why Charlotte Flair is absolutely needed. I know there's a lot of you out there that don't want to see Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey again. Hell, we may end up seeing Becky Lynch feud with Ronda Rousey right now. Now, speaking of Becky Lynch, you know, if you remember my predictions, I did them on Tuesday. We didn't know who the fifth member was for Bianca Belair's team. And when I did my predictions, look in the left-hand corner, I thought that it was going to be Beth Phoenix. Beth Phoenix getting revenge on Damage Control, one and done. She wins at Survivor Series. Then she could go back home to her family life. So how did I do, everyone? Did I nail it? Did I nail it? Oh, yes, I nailed it. I got it. Beth Phoenix wearing a Becky Lynch costume yesterday. No, I did not nail it. Yeah, I blew it. It was Becky Lynch. We did talk about Becky Lynch with the predictions. And I said that day, look, if it's Becky Lynch, I'm fine with it. You know, personally. Now, here's Sausage, everyone. And I'm going to mention this tomorrow. Remember it. Remember when we talked about John Cena versus Logan Paul? And everybody, for the most part, was ripping me apart by it. Then a week later, Logan Paul goes on his podcast and says, I want John Cena for WrestleMania. Hey, wow. I don't think Logan Paul was checking out my shit. But, you know, I heard from someone that that's a match that WWE was thinking about. So now Logan Paul talks about John Cena on his podcast, Triple H, make it happen. Then you get these goofy news sites. Hey, WWE's proposing, thinking about John Cena versus Logan Paul. Well, I'm going to throw one out for you right now, Sausage. Now I think it's almost a guarantee. Rhea Ripley versus Beth Phoenix, one-on-one. And honestly, that might be dangerous for them to do. Personally, if I was WWE, mixed tag match. Mixed tag. Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley versus Edge and Beth Phoenix. If you want to do that at Mania, go right ahead. If you want to do it sooner, go right ahead. I don't think you should do Rhea Ripley versus Beth Phoenix one-on-one because I think Rhea Ripley will get a hell of a lot more cheers than WWE is expecting. We all like Beth Phoenix. We all appreciate Beth Phoenix. It is cool when she makes her appearances here and there. But at the end of the day, you know, Rhea Ripley is the one grinding and Rhea Ripley is fucking, you know, just everything about her is clicking on all cylinders. And I think those fans, they'll get fucking behind Rhea Ripley and it might even feel a little bit like Bizarro Land. So I think you kind of got to negate it by bringing in Edge as well. And you know what? You have Edge and Rhea Ripley go at it a little bit too. I think that would be pretty cool. Yeah, Benjamin, one-on-one is dangerous. Not physically dangerous, creatively dangerous. You know, because the fans could really get behind Rhea Ripley and that's not what WWE is intending to do. So, you know, so we had the War Games match yesterday with the women. Team Bianca Belair did, in fact, win, beating Damage Control. You know, I love the interaction with Io Sky and Asuka when we got it. You know, Corey Graves going out of his way saying that's a match that the WWE fans are clamoring. They know we want it. They know we want it. When WWE does their, I think they might be doing a tour in India. They might do an event in January in India. I'm not sure about that. There's a little buzz about that. don't be surprised if they consider doing that match there. I don't know, you know, if that would be the best place to put it. Jesus, I'd throw it on a fucking WrestleMania. You got two nights of WrestleMania. You can't fit Io Sky and Asuka on a WrestleMania? Shit, man. That would be spectacular. Nikki Cross yesterday, I thought she did great. I will say one thing about the match yesterday. You know, Nikki Cross using a lot of weapons. You know, Nikki Cross, a little twisted right now, her character. You know who I felt bad for yesterday, honestly? I felt bad for Liv Morgan. Because as Nikki Cross was using some of the weapons, because she was the first one to bring weapons into the match, kendo sticks, garbage can lids. But, you know, when the WWE commentators are stressing that, you know, this is Nikki Cross's alley, I couldn't help but to think about Liv Morgan for the past bunch of months doing all the hardcore stuff. We didn't ask for her to do that, but doing all the hardcore stuff, doing all the weapons, doing the crazy dives, doing all the table shit. And I'm saying to myself, man, I know Liv Morgan could not be on Damage Control's team. I get it. I get it. But I personally, with all due respect to Mia Yim, I know they want to try to, you know, put her in a high-profile match to get over, get the rub from Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch and Asuka and Alexa Bliss. But I would have put Liv Morgan in that spot over Mia Yim. That's what I would have done. But the match was great yesterday. Nikki Cross doing some high fly. I thought the handcuff spot was awful. I thought that was awful. Seriously, neither Alexa Bliss nor Nikki Cross could ever be like a deputy cop. Seriously, you imagine trying to cuff someone? Nikki Cross is trying to handcuff Alexa Bliss, and Alexa Bliss, they have the camera like right zoomed in, and it was fucking awful. And you would think somebody in production would be like, get the camera off of them, just go on the side. You know, do it from the back. And they're zooming in, and Nikki Cross is fumbling and bumbling, trying to handcuff Alexa Bliss's wrist. And then Alexa Bliss grabs the handcuff, and Nikki Cross, nah, 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 nah. Oh, painful. Pain. Sound like Clubber Lang. Pain. That was awful, man. My wife just said, are you retarded? Yeah, she just said, what am I, retarded? Say it louder.
You sound like you're having spasms.
She says, I sound like I'm having spasms. No! Oh, that was awful, man. It was awful. But, hey, you know, Rhea Ripley getting the spit in her face. Rhea Ripley, you know what I loved when she was in the cage? Close my door, please. When she was in the cage preparing to be in the match and she's doing pull-ups and stuff like that, she's phenomenal, man. So, anyway, Becky Lynch looked great yesterday. Becky Lynch doing a like a leg drop off the top of the cage. You know, Dakota Kai, Io Sky, you know, they did well. I think the problem was, you know, when Becky Lynch first entered the match and she's beating up all the members on team Bayley. You look back and you see like all four women are standing in the corner and one runs in the ring. And then that one gets hit in the eye. We've seen it for decades. It's nothing new. But when you have the camera zoomed right in the middle and you're just watching people, you know, it was kind of, you know, off in my honest opinion. But Becky Lynch puts Dakota Kai through a table, gets the win. And you know what? It was a decent, that probably would have helped if I put the graphic on the screen, right? It was a decent match. Becky Lynch looks phenomenal. Some people think she's going to SmackDown. You know, Bianca recently said that one of her WrestleMania dream opponents is Charlotte Flair. Now, we got the road to the Royal Rumble coming up. So, you know, look, Charlotte Flair could win a Royal Rumble, and she gets the title match that way. You don't need a storyline built up to it. But the thing is, if Becky Lynch goes to SmackDown, that's almost a lock that Charlotte Flair goes to Raw. I don't think you put Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch on the same brand, especially right now with Ronda Rousey as the champion. Because Ronda Rousey, as you saw yesterday, a lot of people are like, what the hell's going on with the SmackDown Women's Division? Something is going to shake up the SmackDown Women's Division literally this week or next. You could bet the ranch on it. So we'll get into that in a moment. Very quickly, like I said earlier, AJ Styles beating Finn Balor with the phenomenal forearm. Match was excellent. Match went almost 20 minutes. I think I said 25 earlier. It was almost 20 minutes. But it just felt like a Raw match. As we expected, no Rhea Ripley, no Mia Yim at ringside. They're selling the pain and the anguish of being in War Games. But Dominic getting his ass handed to him a little bit. You know, fans are loving any opportunity that Dominic gets his ass kicked. I'm telling you, that match between Dom and Ray at Mania is going to be a real, real, real good one to remember. And I can't wait to see what the fans' reaction is if Dom gets the win on his dad. I mean, that's the ultimate passing of the torch. Father to son. You almost feel. I mean, look, storyline, Ray's should get the win on this one. Teach his son a lesson. But, you know, the Dom getting his ass handed to him yesterday outside the ring. Funny, comical, needed. AJ Styles needed this win. You know, we did predictions. We pointed it out. It's been, what, 10 events in a row that he has not won on premium live event? So AJ Styles, he needed this win a hell of a lot more than Finn Balor did. And he got the win. But again, it just felt like a Raw match for me. As we said earlier, Ronda Rousey, no surprise here, retains her championship over Shotzi Blackheart. They tried. They tried. There's not much that we can add to it. They did have a couple of indie wrestlers planted at the front row, and there was a moment where Shotzi and, you know, they go over the barricade and her, Shayna. Honestly, why didn't the referee eject Shayna Baszler early on? You know, it's just a lot of Shayna Baszler distractions. Shotzi getting a little bit over creative, and it kind of backfired in different ways. And as I said earlier, the biggest problem in this match is Ronda Rousey is not a ring general, and neither is Shotzi Blackheart. Shotzi Blackheart is still growing and learning, and she needs guidance. And that was a very, very difficult. Look, you know, a disappointing match is a disappointing match. I'm not making excuses for them. I'm trying to understand it, you know, but you see now why, as much as people may not like it, Charlotte Flair returning is what is needed for the women's division, even on Raw. Now, me personally, I think Rhea Ripley has earned the right to feud with Bianca Belair next. But, you know, we got to see what happens with Becky Lynch. I hope that her feud with Bayley is not over because of War Games. This is why I didn't really want Becky Lynch in War Games. You know, her going from injury to returning, I mean, she did phenomenal in the match yesterday. But I don't want that to be the pinnacle of, okay, she... You remember what Triple H said in the post, their scrum that they did, the press conference? You know, he said, you know, like, you don't want a wrestler, if they're having this huge feud, I challenge you to Money in the Bank, or I challenge you. I mean, obviously, it was a stupid reference because you don't have a one-on-one for a briefcase. You say Money in the Bank because that's the next premium live event. I want to face you at the next event, whatever it is. You know, Money in the Bank, Judgment Day, it's facing someone one-on-one. But, you know, if you look at it also, you want things to build and culminate. You know, when he brought up Elimination Chamber, it's exactly what you and I have talked about, and a lot of others have talked about online for a long time. You know, Elimination Chamber, no one's going to challenge someone. Hey, I challenge you and five other people or four other people. No, three other people, yeah. I challenge you and three other people. That makes five. But, no, you would say, I challenge you in Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell! You know, that is the culmination. War Games is kind of like a Hell in a Cell, a cage match. And that's where a feud should end. So Becky Lynch returning, I hope that she continues. I think Becky Lynch and Bayley might be needed for a little while. You know, let Sky and Kai kind of shift towards another tag team. Unfortunately, we didn't get Sasha Banks yesterday. We expected it. You know, it's interesting. You know, we're November 27th. Where was this amazing, unbelievable, earth-shattering announcement that Sasha Banks was going to have before the end of November? Remember the video we showed 2 weeks ago? She's like, you know, you guys, wait till you see what happens. You know, this month, I'm still waiting for it. We only got 3 days left in the month. Wait, 30 days in September, April, June, and November. Yeah, we only got 3 days left. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to play little semantics here, but, you know, we're almost at the month of November, but we kind of expected. Remember my title for episode a couple of weeks ago? You know, 3 minus 2 equals no Sasha and Naomi at Survivor Series. It was true. So Ronda Rousey retained yesterday over Shotzi Blackheart. They tried, but it really did not work. Let's be honest. This was surprising. Hot potato. Does this mean Seth Rollins is going to ultimately get a shot at Roman Reigns at WrestleMania? I know everybody's talking about it. Remember my idea? Look, great minds think alike. I'm not saying that anybody checked out my show and they're like, hey, I talked about this 2 or 3 months ago on one of the Sunday episodes. What about The Rock? I mean, what about Roman Reigns wrestling twice at WrestleMania? He has to defend night one with one championship, night two with the other championship. And Cody Rhodes, you know, a lot of people feel is one of them. Now, Cody Rhodes, I think you can't just put him in that match. He's got to win the Royal Rumble, in my opinion. I think Cody Rhodes will cut one of those passionate promos that if I'm going to fight for the world championship, I need to win the Royal Rumble. So Cody Rhodes may end up winning the Royal Rumble. Now a lot of people still think The Rock versus Roman Reigns is a WrestleMania match. Now I'm starting to think, could they go with Seth Rollins? The Rock at WrestleMania is a big deal. The Rock interacting with Roman Reigns is a big deal. But maybe The Rock versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania is not needed. I think wrestling fans would prefer Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns, Battle of the Shield members, with Seth Rollins winning a world championship, and that interview with Ariel Helwani could feel like a distant memory in some degree. It almost feels like under the Triple H regime, creatively, that, you know what, maybe we got to give it to the guy who's busting his ass week in and week out and week in and week out. And yes, Rock versus Roman Reigns is marquee. No question. But maybe it's not necessary. Maybe you make The Rock guest referee, special enforcer. You know, I personally like guest referee. Let them tease, you know, because it's blood. It's bloodline that maybe The Rock is going to favor Roman Reigns a little bit more. You know, I'm not saying it would be on the level of Mike Tyson as a special enforcer, but I personally would rather see Seth Rollins, a full-time player, giving 150% every time he goes out there. I'd rather see him defeat Roman Reigns for one of those championships than to see The Rock lose to Roman Reigns. And I certainly don't want The Rock winning a championship. The Rock doesn't wrestle full-time anymore. So does anybody in their right mind think that WrestleMania is not going to sell out a gross $10-plus million because they don't have Roman Reigns and The Rock? I mean, we don't even have matches yet for the Royal Rumble, and look what sold already. The anticipation. So I personally don't know if I want that. I certainly do not think Kevin Owens gets... No, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos. That's the match we've all talked about for about 4 or 5 months now. When they had their first interaction 3+ months ago, and then WWE said, oh, it's a little too soon. We got to wait a couple of months and revisit it. Remember that discussion? So I'd like to see Cody versus Roman on one night and Seth versus Roman on another night. In fact, I would have Seth versus Roman on night two. And if Roman loses both championships, I want Seth Rollins to close out night two holding that championship in the air. There's no secret. I am a huge Seth Rollins fan. But I've also been an Austin Theory fan. I'm not the only person online. I know a lot of others have also said it. But this narrative that people took for the last bunch of months that Austin Theory was being buried was probably one of the stupidest ideas of the year. People strictly looking at stats and not seeing between the lines that the fans are trying to, you know, what Austin Theory out of the building, and that motherfucker held his own. Austin Theory, no matter who he was in the match with, even if he lost, was putting on a performance over and over and over again. I look back at 2022, and we had a lot of sausage, especially in July and August, that people are still talking about to this day. And I personally think the staying on the bandwagon with Austin Theory is probably one of my proudest points all year. Because while 95% of the people out there saying, oh, he was a Vince McMahon guy and Triple H, oh, no, nah, he sees that Austin Theory. No, nah, maybe in the future, but not. Bullshit. That motherfucker's got the look. He's got the voice. He's got the ability. The only thing he doesn't have is the years yet in WWE. Yesterday, he defeated Seth Rollins and Bobby Lashley to win the United States Championship. I still don't understand why people made such a big deal about the briefcase. Stupid. This is stupid. This is yeah, for casual wrestling fans, it was stupid. Stupid decision, Austin. You cashed in a briefcase. Well, guess what? This is entertainment. This was not real life. And getting the briefcase off, I said it that night on Raw. Getting rid of the briefcase was the best thing for Austin Theory. No more pressure. No more I got to cash in. Remember when we were saying, why wouldn't Austin Theory cash in on a heavyweight champion? Why would he do it against this person? He could have cashed in on Seth Rollins. He could have announced it before, and I'm cashing in on Seth Rollins. Absolutely. Why not? You know. But Austin Theory cashing in and failing, the best thing they ever did. The briefcase should have been off of him a long time ago. And people were ripping it like, what a stupid decision. How do you do that? That's all. That was the best thing for Austin Theory. Austin Theory didn't need no briefcase. They gave him the briefcase just to troll fans. Look, I show up in NXT. Braun, look, I show up on SmackDown. Roman, look, I show up on Raw. Look, Seth, Bobby, whoever is champion at the time. It was to get the fans underneath the skin. I will admit, I am very surprised they took the United States Championship off of Seth Rollins this early. But I'm telling you, you give it 6 months to a year, and you will start hearing Seth Rollins almost taking Austin Theory as a protege. You know, Seth Rollins is doing it already a little bit, saying, you know, hey, Austin Theory is me many years ago. I'm telling you, yesterday, I wouldn't call it a passing of the torch, because Seth Rollins still has many years left, and he's going to be world champion again. But yesterday was one of the best rubs, even though the circumstances. Look, you know, Austin Theory on his knees, Seth Rollins jumps on his back, gives the curb stomp to Bobby Lashley. We think Seth Rollins is going to get the pin, and here comes Austin Theory, and he's throwing Seth out of the ring, and Seth gets the upper hand and, you know, tries to hit the Falcon Arrow, and like, holy shit. Next thing you know, Austin Theory fucking wins. Amazing. Totally unexpected yesterday. To me, a lot of people felt Seth Rollins hasn't had a championship in a long time, and this United States Championship felt more important under Seth Rollins. The fact that he dropped it so fast to Austin Theory, that says a lot as far as what WWE thinks. And anybody in their right mind that thinks that WWE changed their mind about Austin Theory because a majority of the fans felt he was being buried, oh man, don't ever try to get a job in pro wrestling, because that was never WWE's intentions. They never intended to job that motherfucker out. That guy didn't need wins. He had it. When you have it, you don't need wins. I'm not comparing him to Piper. Piper didn't need a championship back in the day. You had other wrestlers who didn't win a lot of matches, but were still insanely over with the fans. It's different reasons for different circumstances. For Austin Theory, he's not on the level of those guys, but he is the future. And now WWE said, okay, no more prospect. No more rookie. No more kid. No more youngest this. Even though they mentioned it again yesterday. Now, superstar. He won. And very, very surprising yesterday. Main event, Bloodline, as we opened up with the show, gets the win over the Brawling Brutes. Now, you know, I don't know how you all feel about it. Oh, by the way, I got my Mananalu water. It was a Jason Mimosa. Who's that football player? Jason Momoa, Mimosa? I didn't know he manufactured pure water with electrolytes in cans, aluminum cans. It's pretty good water. Somebody sent me a case to try out. So thank you, Joey. All right. You know, as we opened up with this show, you know, if a pitcher says it all, it's this pitcher right here. I mean, it just says it all. What a fun match. You know, maybe not as violent as some people expected, but obviously this was all going to come down. Everybody was focused on Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, if there was going to be a turn, if Sami was going to be losing. Now, let's backtrack a little bit. On SmackDown Friday, they did a little segment where Kevin Owens was trying to knock some sense into Sami Zayn, talking to him in the back, telling him, look, turn on them before they turn on you. And Jey Uso was listening in a different room, and Jey Uso confronts Sami Zayn. You know, you talk to anybody? No, I didn't. You lied. Sami Zayn, you never lie to the Bloodline. You never lie to the Bloodline. So, you know, Sami Zayn, you know, kind of fucked up on SmackDown. Now, yesterday was going to be the telltale sign. Yesterday, Jey Uso was talking to Roman Reigns earlier in the night, and he's talking about, hey, man, he lied. He lied. You know, he can't be trusted. And Roman Reigns wants to talk to Sami Zayn. He wants to look him in the eye and to see where his loyalties lie. So he summons Paul Heyman to get Sami Zayn. I love Paul Heyman with his iPhone. Call Sami Zayn. But we didn't get, you know, we didn't hear the Alexa going, oh, no, it's Siri? Is it Siri? Calling Sami Zayn. But, you know, Jey Uso wants something done about Sami Zayn lying. So later on in the night, Sami Zayn is talking to Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns asks Sami Zayn point blank, did you talk to Kevin Owens? Did you lie? And Sami Zayn, 1,000% honest to Roman Reigns. He admits that he did talk to Kevin Owens on SmackDown, and he lied to Jey Uso because he didn't want to distract Jey Uso. Roman Reigns is questioning Sami Zayn's loyalty. Sami Zayn talks about that in this dressing room, there's only 5 people that can enter, and he is honored to be one of them, that he is Bloodline through and through. Roman Reigns is looking at Sami Zayn straight in the eye, and Roman Reigns gives the nod to Sami Zayn, giving him, you know, the look. Yeah, you know, if you're enjoying the show, hit that like button, man. You know, this shit helps. Shit helps, man. But Roman Reigns looks at Sami Zayn, you know, and, you know, they hug Roman Reigns with a little look, you know, like, look, you're either with us. Now, he didn't do the NWO line. You're either with us or you're against us. Or as Bret Hart, you say, you're against us, against us. But he looks at Sami Zayn in the eye. Sami Zayn, 100% honest to Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns gives him the nod and says, let's do this. So we get the match. And, you know, the first two participants are Butch and Jey Uso. So the Bloodline, who do not have the advantage because of SmackDown, Ridge Holland enters. And, you know, I don't know if any of you think this as well. I think, and look, if anyone else has come up with this pairing before, kudos to you as well. But I was watching Ridge Holland yesterday closely. You know who Ridge Holland reminds me of, a cross of two people? Forget his accent. Forget where he comes from, just as far as the way he works in the ring and his size. To me, Ridge Holland is a combination of Rhino and Otis. That's the combination. He reminds me so much of Rhino. Because he was always, because his upper body was always massive. Rhino would always have his arms like this. Like, he can't keep them, like, in. If you watch Ridge Holland closely, he really reminds me of a combination of Rhino and Otis. But, you know, I tell you, you know, I brought this up before, and I'll say it again now. I'm happy for Ridge Holland. What happened to Big E was horrible. And we still pray that Big E could one day return to the ring. It's not guaranteed. You know, I could only imagine what goes to... Look at Saraya. She got cleared. She finally found that doctor that was confident enough that she could do this a little bit. First person she called was Sasha Banks. Because that weighed so heavy on Sasha Banks for all those years. And to me, that is cooler than you realize. I could only imagine for Ridge Holland, especially since he is not a, you know, over WWE star that's been there for a long time. You know, look, what happened with Sasha and Saraya was accidental. But at that point, Sasha Banks was pretty much accepted as a big-time WWE superstar. Ridge Holland was never at that point. A lot of people felt, look what happened with Gargano. Look what happened with Big E. Ridge Holland is too sloppy. He's too reckless. You know, WWE could have easily pulled the plug on that guy. And to see that acceptance from the fans, because look, fans didn't forget what happened to Big E going at it with Ridge Holland, but I think the fans have finally accepted that it was an accident, that it wasn't carelessness. And to see the guy get over as much as he's not this tremendously over guy, let's be honest, but to see him accepted this much and at Survivor Series, I think that's a pretty cool story. Look, getting Big E back in the ring is the ultimate story here. But to see Ridge Holland and the fans kind of, you know, accepting the accident aspect of it, not holding it against him and just crucifying him, you know, till he's released, that's actually pretty cool. That is pretty cool. So we get the match yesterday, and the format was very, very similar. You know, the first couple of participants, no weapons used. I did like this, the little storyline. Two things. If you watched before Sami Zayn entered War Games, every time they panned the camera inside the cage, Roman had this look on his face, staring at Sami. Now, Sami Zayn's staring straight ahead. Roman is behind him. And Roman's just looking at him with this look on his face, like, can I trust this motherfucker? So Jey Uso is getting his ass kicked from Butch and Ridge Holland. So who does Roman Reigns summons as this to even up the odds? Sami Zayn. So you got Sami and Jey Uso working with each other as a team at times. Now, there was a couple of points where Sami Zayn helped Jey Uso. Sami pulled him out of the way from, I think, a shot from Ridge Holland. He was going to splash Jey Uso, and Sami pulls him out of the way. Kind of backfired later on when Jey Uso tried to superkick Butch, and Butch moved out of the way, and Jey superkicked Sami Zayn. It was accidental. The fans didn't like it. They would chant an asshole to Jey Uso. But you had some people taking bullets for others. You saw Solo Sikoa take the bro kick from Sheamus. It was intended for Roman Reigns, but Solo Sikoa pulls Roman out of the way. And towards the end of the match, we had Kevin Owens with a stare down with Roman Reigns. Kevin Owens is not finished with Roman Reigns. Kind of jawjacking with each other. They go back and forth a little bit. Roman Reigns goes for a spear, but Kevin counters it, hits a stunner on Roman Reigns, goes for the pin. Referee is almost at three, and Sami Zayn dives on the referee, holds his hand like this so he can't pull it down. It would have been funny if the referee would have been like, but he didn't. And Kevin Owens has just got this baffled look on Sami Zayn's voice, Sami Zayn's face. And, you know, the biggest mistake for Sami Zayn is showing empathy, kind of like confused. You know, that is one of the downfalls, the seed planted. You know, Sami, listen, at the end of the day, Sami Zayn showed where his loyalty is, and that's the bloodline. We have Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens in the middle of the ring, and Sami Zayn gives him a low blow, and we have Jimmy Uso hitting a super kick onto Kevin Owens. And as I showed you earlier, picture is worth a thousand words. You get Sami Zayn telling Jey Uso, go right ahead. He climbs the top rope, hits the splash onto Kevin Owens. And who would have ever thunk it? Jey Uso gets the pin on Kevin Owens. Oh, look at Drew McIntyre in the back. He's still with, you know, rubbing his chest, his head. We don't have to talk about what else. But, and then we go off the air with the hugs. Everybody online making a big deal, talking about, you know, Jimmy Uso hugging Sami Zayn, but then he has Jey Uso giving him the hugs. Everybody making a big deal online about this. And let me tell you something. This is all entertainment, but you get caught in the moment. When you're in a storyline, and it is a powerful storyline, and there's a lot of emotions, believe me, I tell you, at times it feels real. And Sami Zayn, if you didn't see his appearance on the press conference, yes, storyline. But Sami Zayn kind of made that point, you know, that some of this, you know, the emotions involved, you know, it's all, I don't want to compare it to an actor or an actress that's in a movie that could get themselves to cry. If they're in a really powerful moment in a movie and the emotions get the best of them, you know, but the storytelling on this, perfect. You didn't have to have, this was not a five-star match. Hell, if I could be honest for a minute, putting the storytelling aside, I kind of like the NXT War Games matches, especially the one with the Undisputed Era. I kind of like enjoyed that. That felt more like war than anything else. But as far as storytelling, leading into WrestleMania, the ramifications down the line. You know, somebody made a tongue-in-cheek comment to me earlier, and another person was just being lighthearted about it. Let me tell you something. This is something that I think this person doesn't realize how important this, what he said is. He said, oh, this is going to make the festival of friendship look like lighthearted, amateurish. Let me tell you something. The festival of friendship, when Kevin Owens turned on Chris Jericho, I remember that night. And when Jericho picked up that thing and he was on the list, I mean, that was insane. And people did not want them to split. And it had to be done. That's the story. You know, this is entertainment at the end of the day. Believe me when I tell you, at the end of the day, you think Sami Zayn, the role that he's on right now, the bloodline, you think at the end of the day, they want this shit to end? No. They're on fire. They're on fire. I don't think you could do it any better than the way they are. But this is a story being told. It's a movie. And at the end of the movie, it's got to come to a conclusion. You're not going to have to be continued to WrestleMania 40. So this is something that I'm telling you, all the participants don't want it to end. But this has got to continue. The story continues. And for WWE to extend this now to the Royal Rumble and beyond, you know, get used to it. So now they can go on cruise control because Kevin Owens will probably get a shot against Roman Reigns. And who knows, maybe Sami Zayn's got to prove himself once again. And then he's got to show a little bit more, you know, pause as far as doing something to Kevin Owens, or maybe he feels even more guilty. And that kind of, you know, starts turning things in motion. But yesterday, Survivor Series was about one match. With all due respect to everybody else that performed yesterday, it was about one match. And it was about the storyline progression of the Bloodline. The Brawling Brutes happened to be, you know, with Kevin Owens, obviously. But outside of Kevin Owens, the Brawling Brutes happened to be in that match. And you know what? Props to all of them. Because Butch must have felt like $1 million standing in that ring by himself at the beginning of War Games. Yes, he was in full War Games matches. But yesterday was not only the most important one. Look at who he's facing on the opposite side. He's facing three Hall of Famers and, you know, possibly a fourth down the line. It really did what it needed to do yesterday. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 7.5, only because it felt like a one-match event. I liked the women's War Games. I did. I really didn't have much of an issue with even some of the flubs. But for me, it was a one-match event, and you know, I think we needed a little bit more. So, all right. So, that covered an hour. And what we will do for the remainder, we'll do another half an hour. So, by the way, I got to mention this. I wasn't even going to show this. I went on vacation for 4 days, Wednesday afternoon to this morning. And I visited some friends in Madison, Connecticut, who wanted to go to our wedding but couldn't. We ended up staying by their house for 4 days. We stopped by Mohegan Sun for about 6 hours, played in a casino for about an hour or two, ate lunch, and then we went back to Madison. And, you know, look, I like to share fun things that happened, but I had no idea how salty people were going to be because of this video clip. I posted this online Saturday. And, you know, I thought, hey, it was a pretty cool moment. You know, hey, I just want to show everyone, you know, I got lucky. And not only did I get like 3 derogatory DMs from people I don't even know. Maybe I'll show you screenshots tomorrow. But most of the people were like, man, you know, all this shit, like like people accusing me of rubbing this in. This is what happened to me Saturday, all right? Just, we were in Mohegan Sun for 2 hours, and this happened.
I told Tanya I would give her half of my head.
Look at mine. I was almost there. Look at mine, honey. Show mine.
Yeah, she almost had 2. She almost had 2. Look.
Started with $68.
We were going to quit too.
And I came home with $1,400.
Paid for.
All right, we don't need to show it all.
I started with
$68 and I won $1,400. I posted it like, hey, you know, I got, and people got salty. I was like, man, fuck you all. Seriously, fuck you all. All right, so what we're going to do for the remaining 30 minutes. For anybody that may be new to the sit down, I'm going to sit back and I am going to answer your questions. If you have a question that you would like to ask and you're in the live chat, just before your question in capital letters, write the word question so I could spot it quicker. If you have a comment that you want me to relay to everyone, especially those in audio only, write the word comment so I could spot it. And again, super chats never required, always appreciated. And yes, they do get a little bit of VIP attention, and I will give it that attention now. Antoine Fair, thank you for the 5 spot, my friend. That's a damn good idea. Seth versus Cody versus Roman Rock special guest referee. I don't want it to be a 3-way. I think Roman Reigns versus... See, here's the thing. If you have The Rock as a special guest referee, which match would it make more sense? Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns? Like, where does The Rock have more of... You understand what I'm saying? By the way, I thought Kevin Owens' shirt was cool yesterday. If they have that one for sale, he was wearing a Dusty Rhodes shirt last night, Bionic Elbow. I want that shirt, man. I have a couple of Dusty shirts. That was a cool shirt yesterday. I'm going to look. Maybe it is a WWE shirt that they have on sale. But I think what we got to figure out is if Rock is special guest referee, which match? I personally think he'd be better suited to referee Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns. I think Seth Rollins could get over more, you know, kind of like, you know, maybe pissing off The Rock a little bit, or having that banter back and forth. I'm not saying that Cody wouldn't be able to do it, but Cody and The Rock, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. But, you know, hey, we'll see. I mean, we'll definitely start seeing seeds planted in the very near future. I'm very curious about Seth Rollins. You know, and look, Seth Rollins and Cody had three bangers earlier this year. And just imagine if both of them end up winning championships for Roman Reigns after this is said and done. No, we don't want to have Cody versus Seth, title versus title. We don't want unified champions anymore. We did it during the COVID. It has worked really, really good for Roman Reigns. I think we could get rid of that for the foreseeable future, in my opinion. King of Games 405, thank you for the five spot as well. How do I think the CM Punk contract situation will play out? Also, I was spot on about Thunder Rosa. Yeah. I said 2 weeks ago that you're going to see this internet, you know, almost like vendetta against Thunder Rosa to get that title off of her. And sure enough, they did. That's exactly what they did. AEW took the championship off of Thunder Rosa. Jamie Hayter is now the official women's champion. Look, I'll say this straight up. Jamie Hayter deserves to be AEW Women's Champion. This is all on Tony Khan. People don't have the balls to put the blame on Tony Khan. He is the motherfucker that came up with this interim championship because he didn't have the balls to originally say, hey, listen, Thunder Rosa, I know it's awful. I got to take the title off of you. You're injured. It was, you know, shit happens and everything, but I got to take the title off of you. But you know what? As soon as you are ready to return to the ring, you get the first title shot back. No. He's got to try to make everybody happy. Oh, let's just have another title. And then if she has to sit out for 6 months, she's still the champion. Look at her reign. Look how long she had that title in the record books and she couldn't run. It's not her fault. This is all on Tony Khan. People out there wouldn't dare have the balls to put this on Tony Khan. I feel bad for Thunder Rosa, but I saw this a mile away. And the reason why we always get this right is because, you know, we're on a desert island, everyone. 99% of the people out there wouldn't dare to go against AEW. I don't give a fuck. I just give my straight up honest opinion. You know what? When I get DMs from people within wrestling that say, you know, listen, you know, I keep doing what you're doing. Keep telling it straight up. Keep, you know, speaking, telling it how it is. That's all I need. I don't need a like, a follow, you know, retweet and appreciate. No, I when people privately tell me things and they don't want to go on record so they don't get shitted on and everything, like, to me that means more than anything. And I'm not the only one. You know, there's a lot of other people out there that speak their mind that are not famous people out there. And, you know, unfortunately, they get no attention from others. It's all right. As long as I got yours, that's all that matters. Shout out to John Vickers. Thank you very much, my friend, for that. Much appreciated. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Much love. Lascelles Williams with the 10 spot. Thoughts on Anthony Bowens calling himself the first openly gay AEW champion, even though Nyla Rose and Mercedes Martinez were champs before him. It's kind of loaded. Well, Nyla Rose is transgender. And Mercedes Martinez, if you really want to split hairs, she's Ring of Honor Women's Champion. I know it's not under the AEW banner. Look, man, I could listen. This is not a negative. I'm not trying to throw shade on anybody. You know, I'm one of the biggest Nyla Rose supporters out there. I don't care about anybody's sexuality. You know, look, for people who are gay and bisexual, they have had a much harder time, you know, in wrestling, and many times, you know, are shunned because of it. I can only imagine what some have gone through over the years. We have lost wrestlers to suicide who were gay because of their sexuality. For me, I look at the person's ability. And, you know, if somebody else was gay before this, it's not something that I really have an issue with. Anthony Bowens calling himself the first openly gay champion, or if AEW calls him the first, so what? You know what I mean? It's like, it's not, it's a big deal for those who are gay. They inspire others that if they can do it, you know, then others may have the strength to do it. And that's a good thing. But I don't have any issue with it whatsoever, to be honest with you. You know, it's people go through a lot for different reasons. For them, it's sexuality. And, be proud. Be proud. You know, you have a harder time getting to where you are and you succeed. Be proud of it. That's how I look at it. So, all right. Michael Hinnengardner, do I think Sasha Banks still makes a return to WWE? Yes. Look at my thumbnail from about 6 months ago. You know, she will bank on a 2023 return. I have said all along that I envisioned the conversation that she had with Triple H many months ago. Look, take the rest of 2022 off. Do the things that you always wanted to do. You know, have a ball. Clear your head. You know, and then you come back in 2023. I'm sticking with that. Just look at my thumbnail, bank on a 2023 return. I'm still going with that. Now, could it be the Royal Rumble? Possibly. Possibly. I expect her to be back. And who knows? Her and Naomi could end up getting the women's championship title match at WrestleMania. I don't know. I don't work for WWE. But anyone out there that claims, you know, that they know this and they know that, they know this, you know, unless it's a professional wrestler who has connections, do not believe any wrestling news site out there. From the people out there saying, oh, WWE's considering Gunther versus Brock Lesnar. You know, yeah, says who? You think they talked to Juan, who happened to be like serving coffee in a creative meeting and heard Bruce Pritchard? Yo, I hear Bruce Pritchard. I heard him say, that's my impersonation of Juan. All right, let's say Tony. So no Juans out there get upset. You don't. Hey, you won't believe this shit. I was giving gabagool. I was serving lunch for all the WWE creative, and this motherfucker Pritchard said that they're thinking about Brock Lesnar versus Gunther at the fucking WrestleMania. You believe that shit? People are just coming up with matches that other people have not said yet to get attention. You know, do I think Gunther and Brock Lesnar will go out at WrestleMania? I mean, at the Royal Rumble? Yeah. Yeah, people still remember Keith Lee and Brock Lesnar for that brief moment at the Royal Rumble. Big boy. You're going to see Gunther throw a chop to Brock Lesnar? Oh, fuck yeah. But, yeah, no. I have no idea when Sasha Banks returns. Any wrestling news podcaster that tells you they know, they're full of fucking shit. Oh, my sources tell me. Who the fuck are your sources? The maid? Who? You think anybody in WWE creative is a... Yo, blah, 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 blah. We're going to do this. You just don't say anything. Yo, you won't believe this. Yo, we just left creative and Hunter said that. Come on. But my gut feeling is I think Sasha Banks returns early 2023. Period. All right. Let's keep going. Theme parks with Johnny. Happy 12 months being a channel member. You go. Hope everyone is having a wonderful day. He has to say he's in a minority. Come on, let Roman have the championship for another 1,000 days. If it was the 70s, where it was like once a month in the Spectrum and once a month in the Garden and little bullshit shows where he wouldn't appear and there were no pay-per-views, yes. You got to give opportunities to others. Roman Reigns has done an incredible job being the undisputed champion. But now you have to give it to others. And let me tell you something. Some of these wrestlers, we may feel like championships don't matter. But for some of those wrestlers, it's not just holding the championship. That is the acknowledgement from the company that they have faith in you like that. And you could have wrestlers who are now getting in the ladder. You remember my since we were talking about thumbnails, do you remember my thumbnail when I said, be careful what you wish for? This was when they first gave Roman both championships. You remember my picture? I had Bobby Lashley and a few others. I said, be careful what you wish for, because a whole bunch of people that should be a heavyweight champion over the last 2-3 years are not, because Roman is a stranglehold. That thumbnail, I think, has developed, has aged very well. You got to give the championships to. And listen, even if Roman had one title, you know, why would he do any less of a good job? You know, if anything, it's like competition to have to get, they just wanted all the focus on Roman. They wanted Roman to be the godfather of the WWE. And I don't mean that in an Italian way. Roman Reigns was the guy and is the guy in WWE. And the only way they did that was being straight up Universal Champion. All right, Guardian of Chaos. A little trivia for me. First venue in year, War Games in the WWE. They purchased the rights in 2002. You know what's interesting? Triple H did say in the press conference, like, they talked about, you know, was this something, a possibility 20 years ago? I'm a little surprised that they never did it sooner. I personally think, this is my take on this, Vince McMahon's pride about everything being original in WWE is the reason why we didn't have War Games before NXT and now. Because with Vince, that's why I think it was in NXT. NXT. You know, because I think WWE is like, you know, no, we're not going to do War Games. Instead, let's come up with our own idea. Let's do a spin. Oh, Elimination Chamber. That's my honest take on it. I think Vince's pride of not making something. And look, I'm not saying that he didn't take things from NWA or WCW. He did. Great American Bash, you know, other thing, concepts. But I think with War Games, I think, and look at the time frame. Look at the time frame. When was Elimination Chamber created? Wasn't it 2002? I think that when they bought it, when they bought WCW, and they had, I think at that time, somebody might have pitched, let's do War Games. And they said, you know what, let's come up with our own concept. And I think that's why we got Elimination Chamber. That's my honest take on it. I don't know if I'm right. I don't have one in the room serving water. Hey, yo, Don Tony. Back in 2002, I was serving Coronas and water. You wouldn't believe this. They were talking about working. I don't have connections like that. So, all right. Michael Gonzalez, what are my overall thoughts on Solo Sikoa? I'm so fucking happy for him. I was in Florida when he showed up and won the North American Championship, and then he had to give it up. That was cool shit. I like Solo Sikoa. I could only imagine how he must have felt yesterday being at Survivor Series. And you know what? Go back to yesterday. And Roman Reigns, you know, acknowledging Solo Sikoa too in some way. You, if you watch closely, you'll see what I'm talking about. They have accepted him. He has done it. Look, he is not tremendously over yet with the fans. That will come in time. But I am extremely happy for Solo Sikoa. Fucking really happy for that guy. He's like a skinnier Umaga to me. And you know what? He was kind of doing a little bit Umaga yesterday. Anybody saw it? And it's not the first time he's done it, but I had flashbacks of Umaga yesterday. I am a Solo Sikoa fan. Absolutely, man. And you know what? No one is forced to like the guy, but props to everyone who is showing a little respect for Solo Sikoa right now. Good guy, man. And you know what? Hanging out with a few people before NXT that day, we were talking about, you know, a few wrestlers. You know, we don't need to bring them up now, but, you know, we've talked about it. Quincy Elliott was the biggest discussion that day. But, you know, a few people said also, like, man, Solo Sikoa, a really cool dude, man. Not one bad thing anybody could say about him. So, okay, flying by. We got about 10 minutes left. So, all right, Rocky Red, what do I make of the Elite mocking CM Punk? You know, listen, I'm going to get into this Wednesday. I will answer you now. I'm not going to be a dick, but I'm going to give you a little teaser of what I'm going to say Wednesday. this idea online that Tony Khan is working us with the CM Punk mocking that CM Punk is there all along. I get two reactions to that. Number one, that fight was real. And to turn around and take, remember my thumbnail? We keep talking about thumbnails. Remember Blurred Lines versus Sloppy Shop? Remember I had Eddie Kingston and Sammy Guevara? That's the same fucking thing. You don't take a sloppy shop and remedy it by turning it into an angle. You got major problems in that company. That foundation is fucked up. Whether you like it or not, that is the fact. You think CM Punk staying on board is going to fix the internal soul foundation problem? It doesn't do a damn thing. And I also believe people are doing that online just for hits. Just for hits. People trying to plant the seed that, no, CM Punk's coming back. Oh, he's definitely coming back. You see what they're doing? They're doing little jabs. He's definitely coming back. What are you fucking kidding me? Does anybody in their right mind think CM Punk having a fight like this is what? These people are bent. And if CM Punk would have come back after all this, that's not something that everybody would be like, oh, my God. I saw people with blue check marks, and not because they pay $8 a month. I saw people writing like, if CM Punk comes back, Tony Khan, Booker in a decade, Booker in a... No. What are you talking about? Booker in a decade. You know, you're taking a real-life mess, and you try to turn it... This isn't Edge and Matt Hardy. You know, that these people talking about. So I think either people are just really, really mentally challenged and just, you know, or had a little bit too much babanya, or they're just doing it for hits. And they, in my opinion, they ain't no fucking way keeping CM Punk fixes anything. CM Punk's post-scrum shoot was not a storyline. It exposed major problems in AEW. Shit hasn't changed. We're back to 2020. Shit hasn't changed. You imagine if CM Punk is willing to be part of the problem by working still and get a paycheck? How does that improve AEW? The storyline. Yeah. People, nobody tuning in, but this is why I stay away from this shit online. These people are crazy with this stuff. You know, all conspiracy. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine that? Havili! Wow. When I see purple and red, when I see red colors, I know it's something big and special. We got to throw this on the screen. All right. Send in a 50 spot. Thank you for your generosity. Oh, many thanks. All right. Thank you, Havili, for that. That's very kind of you. What is the likely scenario for Randy Orton's return? Challenge Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber, reunited with Riddle to challenge the Usos, turning on Riddle for a match at the WrestleMania, or reunited with Edge and Beth against Judgment Day? Well, him challenging Reigns out of the question right now. A little bit is starting to come out that Randy Orton's back surgery is very similar to what Shawn Michaels went through in the late 90s. Now, that actually may be good news, and I'll tell you why. I think everybody would agree with me on this. Think back to Shawn Michaels in the late 90s. Now, we're not going to do any, you know, really perverted antics, you know, other than to suck it. But that guy was medicated. Would that be fair to say? Let me say it like this. I don't think Shawn Michaels took as good of care of his body as Randy Orton has over the years. And Randy Orton, if Shawn Michaels was able to come back, and when he came back, new vision on life, born again. I mean, Shawn Michaels, let's give him all the props in the world. Motherfucker came back. And honestly, I kind of like his return more than before he left. But if Shawn Michaels could come back, Randy Orton can. I personally think, though, Shawn Michaels was out for 4 years. And I think some of it was emotionally as well. I think Randy Orton could very well return a hell of a lot quicker than Shawn Michaels. I don't put him with Roman Reigns. I don't put him against the Usos. Usos are for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. That's it. That's it. Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, when they brawl in the ring, you're going to have people chanting, "This is awesome," simply when they start punching each other. That's a lock. I like him aligning with Edge and maybe Beth, but I kind of still feel he turns on Riddle. I think he shows up, makes the save for Riddle. They hug, maybe even milk it for a couple of weeks. Then Randy Orton with an RKO, and they have their match. Could it happen in time of WrestleMania? That's kind of cutting it close. Randy Orton versus Riddle might be WrestleMania 40. Not everything has to happen at WrestleMania 39. So who knows? Oh, boy. You got to give me 1 second, everyone. Sneeze. Since 1997, I have sneezed a total of 6 times while I was doing shows live. That is number 7. We keep a count. I muted it so you didn't have to hear it. So, but no, I think Randy Orton, when he returns, he has to turn on Riddle. That's the stuff. And listen, if the tag team division is very weak, you could keep Riddle and Randy Orton as a tag team again. Rated RK-Bro, everybody loved them. There was nothing wrong with them. You can bring it back. I think when Randy's ready to return, you look at the current scene of the tag team division. And if you feel, okay, you know what, it could use a little bit of improvement, we have RK-Bro reunite. Let them be a tag team again. Let them have a run for a year. Not as champs, but let them reunite for a year and then do it WrestleMania 40. That's what I would do. So thank you again, Havili, for the 50. I really appreciate that. Much love, my friend. SITV, do I not think Riddle should turn on Randy? Look, I said that about 9 or 10 months ago. Playing devil's advocate, I think with my former co-host that was on here with too, I said, you know, what about Riddle turning on Randy? You know, I think at this point, Riddle has become one of the more beloved wrestlers in WWE. And I personally think Randy Orton, when he's a heel, sometimes that's his best. Who would you rather be, a heel? Randy Orton or Riddle? Riddle being naive, I think, would work a hell of a lot better. Look, it would shock everybody if Riddle turned on Randy. But I think in the end, I think it would be right up Randy's alley to be a heel. Because if Randy Orton is a major heel with this and turns on Riddle, it might get Riddle even more over with the fans. I know, I can't see Riddle. I could see Riddle as a heel. No, I kind of disagree with you, Ben. I see him as a heel. When he was feuding with Seth Rollins, man, that was a side of Riddle that we didn't see on that main roster. What did you say? I'll fuck you up. You know, if you notice, WWE's kind of like moved away from that extreme vulgarity a little bit, even though it was censored. You know, they kind of like throw a little shot. And you know what? That was the right way to go because you don't want everyone to use expletives. When everybody uses expletives, it really doesn't mean much. All right, we're going to start bringing this home, everyone. Muhammad says, how much does he have to pay me to have timestamps? Muhammad, I can't appease everyone here. I apologize. You watch the state of the channel that I did earlier this week. It spells it out clearly. Once in a while, I'll put a timestamp on there. I probably will put timestamps for the matches that we discussed today. The problem is this. This is what you need to understand. If you go back and you check out my Survivor Series recap today, we opened up talking about what happened with Sami Zayn. Then 50 minutes later, we talked about the match. I can't put 5 timestamps every time we reference back to the same match. That is how I do things here. I stopped doing timestamps because someone who I trust very, very much, someone who makes a boatload of money and someone who has been doing this, you know, not as long as me, but does this bigger and better, is like, DT, you put timestamps, people get a click on the 5 minutes for what they just want to hear, and then they tune out. What I am doing instead is I'm going to start putting clips up. So instead of timestamps, if you want to hear a particular conversation, you could click on the clip. So I try to, and plus you got to understand something. I do spend a lot of time doing these shows. I can't spend an extra hour going through a show on two times the speed and taking a timestamp down just so 5% of everyone wants it. I apologize, but you know, that's the reason why I try to appease everyone. I will do it where necessary, but it is very difficult with my conversation. So it's not laziness, you know, and I promise you, if I start doing timestamps, these shows will be 30 minutes long because I can't spend that much time on these shows. I try to put them out there. Everyone enjoy it as much as they can and go to the next one. You know, a week from now, some of the conversations we have on Mondays or Wednesdays are outdated. Nobody tunes into them anymore. So that's the reason why it doesn't happen. Havili with another 20 spot. If the Hogan beat Andre in the rematch at Saturday night's main event, Savage was still a heel, could the main event of WrestleMania have been Hogan versus Savage instead of WrestleMania 5? Let me tell you something. I don't know how old you are, and you don't have to tell me your age, but I was, you know, hardcore WWF fan in 87, and Hogan versus Andre was the biggest match at that time. I know the work rate wasn't all that great, but at that time, Savage was not on Hogan's level, and that's not a knock on Savage. Savage was still one notch below, you know, feuding with Steamboat, feuding with others, you know, trying to develop that, you know, that relationship with Miss Elizabeth, you know, the George the Animal Steel aspect of it. So Savage, there was no reason to, pardon my French, blow your load by having Savage in 87 going up against Hogan. You know, no, I did the Andre, and plus Andre didn't have that much time left in his career to have high profile matches. So they wanted to have the controversy. They wanted to have the controversy with Ted DiBiase that he could buy a championship. You know, I'll give this belt to Ted DiBiase. You know, that's why there was so many things in motion at that time. Hogan, let me put it like this. Hogan versus Savage in 1987 would have felt like Hogan versus the One Man Gang, a Hogan versus King Kong Bundy, a Hogan versus Kamala. It would have just felt like, okay, next person on the food chain losing to Hogan. They waited, and it allowed Savage to get to that level. And the Saturday night's main event, where Savage turned on Hulk when he carried Miss Elizabeth to the back, the mega powers explode. It was a good time. It was a good time. Wait till WrestleMania 5. I still remember the cover. The mega powers explode, man. Thank you again, Havili. Scorpio 1117 with the two spot. Dream match, Rhea Ripley versus Britt Baker. Britt Baker has improved tremendously over the last couple of years. Britt Baker, I honestly don't think she could hang 100% yet with a Rhea Ripley or a Charlotte Flair or Bianca Belair or Sasha Banks. And the reason why I say that is because some of Britt Baker's most memorable matches involve blood, involve, you know, like props, involve weapons. And Britt Baker, she has had some decent matches. She has had some decent matches against various wrestlers. It's not her fault. It's just that, unfortunately, for AEW, you know, some of the more talented wrestlers like Serena Deeb and Jamie Hayter and others were also heels, so they never really went at it with Britt Baker. You know, Britt Baker, you know, she is good. You give Britt Baker 3 more years, then I could say, okay, I could see her go toe-to-toe with Bianca Belair. I could see her go toe-to-toe. I think Britt Baker is not ready yet to be this straight-up, you know, ring general, take over the match. She could do it against the Sky Blues, and she could do it against some other women. That's not a knock on Britt Baker, because understand something. Some of these other women in WWE, 3 years in, were in NXT. Think about that. You think about Charlotte, you think about Bayley, you think about Sasha, you think about Becky, you think about others. A lot of those women were in NXT for 2-3 years. So Britt Baker was thrown right onto mainstream TV from day one. So that is, this is not a knock on Britt Baker in any way, shape, or form. 2-3 years from now, yeah, that would be a really, really interesting dream match between those two. Right now, though, I don't think it would be close. I don't think it would be close. I wouldn't put Xander is saying Britt Baker, he puts it on a level of Liv Morgan. I wouldn't put it that way. Their styles are completely different. But you know what? I think we will all agree Liv Morgan is not at the, you know, the point where she can be, you know, on an upper echelon. But she's on her way. You know, she's improving. You know, you look at anybody on the roster, you look at them from a year or two ago, and you look at them now, you get a good idea of who's really starting to progress and who isn't. So Liv Morgan is doing fine. Some people, you know, didn't like her championship reign, and that's fine. But she's definitely improved. So, all right. Charlie Conway is saying, I didn't answer a CM Punk super chat comment. I have no idea what you're talking about. There's nothing here about that. If you're talking about this one earlier with King of Games, I spoke about that about 7 minutes earlier with CM Punk and the Elite and the contract. So rewind. I talked about that about 20 minutes ago. So, all right, everyone. I'm going to jet out of here. So it was awesome being back after 4.5 days off. You know, if you haven't seen Survivor Series yet, watch it. I think you'll enjoy it. You definitely, I hate to say it, you definitely could skip the Ronda Rousey Shotzi Blackheart match. Finn Balor versus AJ Styles, if you just want straight up awesome wrestling, watch it. It'll feel like a Raw match, you know, longer. But it, you know what? It would feel like a Raw match in hour number two, because sometimes we get 15-minute matches on Raw. But it was excellent, and AJ Styles winning was the right way to go. Seth Rollins versus Bobby Lashley versus Austin Theory, I think we need a rematch there, because those three really, really work well together. I mean, to be honest with you, if you take away the storyline and the storytelling of the main event with the Bloodline, I would have chosen Rollins, Theory, and Lashley as my favorite match of the night. It was that good. And, you know, props to Theory, man. Austin Theory, you know, showing those people wrong, man. So, all right. Yeah. So, tomorrow, I will be here at 11:05 p.m. Eastern, and that'll be Monday, November 28th. Again, if you haven't checked out my State of the Channel yet, when I go like this, there'll be a link on the top you could watch. It's about 25 minutes long. Just talks about some changes coming to the channel to tighten things up, you know, to get, you know, more condensed content out there, because I don't expect everybody to tune into every minute of everything I do. So we're going to tighten things up a little bit. Also, we're starting to take names for Podcast Forbidden Door 4. I like some of your picks already. Some of you, little cute, choosing names of people that have just totally cursed me out and shit on me and stabbed me in the back and said some horrible things. Yeah, that's not Podcast Forbidden Door. That is, nah. But hey, you know, there are a few names that I have focused on. I don't want to say who they are publicly, but some really good names out there. So I would say in about a week or two, I'll put an official poll up and it'll have, you know, some of your bigger choices out there, and we'll let everybody vote. And whoever gets the most votes, I will reach out to that person and see if they want to do it. And if they say yes, then we will do it. If they say no, then we move on to the next one. So I didn't want to specify anybody in particular, but Bash, I would love to have Jim Cornette on. Jim Cornette would not come on. They, no way, shape, or form. Shit, I would love to have a conversation with Brian Last, because I have such a newfound respect for that guy, especially where he comes from. You know, back in the day, you know, I think I criticized him and Cornette, so naive, not even realizing like who he was and where he came from. And I'm like, man, talk about an unforced error on my part. Brian Last, I love his conversations. So I would love to have a casual with him. I don't know if he would come on either, but Jim Cornette, there ain't no way he would come on. Shit, I think if I just mentioned that I voted for Trump once before, I think that would be like, okay, gotta go, click. And listen, we're not talking politics here, but remember everyone, you know, somebody said to me last week, gun to my head, if I have to choose DeSantis or Trump, I would choose DeSantis. So I'm not on the Trump train anymore. I'm not on politics anymore at all. I just focus on, you know, everything else that makes me happy. So you all made me happy tonight. Fun to be back. Yeah, I was kind of, you know, when you take off 4 or 5 days, even though I might have only missed one show, which really would have been last night, it really kind of, or yesterday morning, it really kind of, you know, it knocks me out of the loop sometimes. You know, it's sometimes it's not easy to just get right back in there. I will tell you this, be prepared tomorrow. That is the thumbnail for tomorrow. That is going to be a little bit of a conversation. I promise I will try not to recycle a lot of what we talked about today. But, yeah, it was kind of like the easiest, quickest one to do. Dead man oozing. I checked online. No one has used that phrase yet. So we will definitely, you know, we won't trademark it, but we'll definitely start hashtagging that. Dead man oozing. Sami Zayn, you are a dead man oozing. You are going to be fucked, man. He is going to get the, does W, here's a good one. Does Triple H allow Sami Zayn to bleed? Does the bloodline literally draw blood? Something to think about. So, and I would not have Guardian of Chaos on for Podcast Forbidden Door because Chaos is a friend of the family. I will have Chaos on in the very near future. That's not forbidden. Forbidden is someone that you would not expect to come on or someone that you would think would not have a good conversation with yours truly. Jason and I, nobody ever thought that that would work. JD, nobody ever thought it would work. Joe Cronin, people like, those two guys, how? That's what it's about, you know? So understand, it's not just a gimmick name for episode. They actually has some deep meaning behind it. So, all right, everyone, I'm out of here. If you enjoyed tonight's show, take a moment, smash that thumbs up. You'd be surprised how much it helps. And I will be back here again 11:05 p.m. on Monday. I'll give you my overall thoughts on Raw, what I liked and disliked. We're not getting over match by match. That shit is over. But we'll get into what I liked, and we'll talk about some news. I got a few things, and yeah, we'll continue the conversation then. So be well, everyone. Does this work yet? Does this work yet? No, it doesn't work. Wow, I have to actually take my mouse, and I actually have to manually click this now.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're going to get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.